Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Caleb Williams. Let's go to Rolando real quick in Napa, then we'll get to the legal. Rolando, Napa, draft crush. Who you got, Rolando? Good morning, man.
Good morning, guys. I'm a big fan. I was talking to your call screener, and we both agreed on the one guy, Brock Bowers. Now, here's my question to you guys. Is he really that good of a tight end? Because I was talking to your screener, and I mentioned Kyle Pitts, because everybody said when Kyle Pitts came out, he was a no-blue-chip prospect. And I want to ask you guys this question. Is Brock Bowers really that good of a tight end? And here's my follow-up question. If he falls, should the Niners draft them? And also, here's a follow-up question to that. Depending on what happens to Brandon Ayuk, if they do trade him for one of those first-round picks, supposedly, should that pick be Brock Bowers? I want to hear your comments and what do you guys think of him. Is he really that good of a tight end?
Good call, Rolando. I love Brock Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. When he was a freshman, I said, damn, we got to wait 2 years for this guy to get drafted. He reminds me a little Kittle, reminds me a little Kelsey. His run after the catch is really, really good. When he gets the ball in his hands, he's as explosive as any college tight end I've ever seen. No cap. The guy can make plays with the ball in his hands. How good of a blocker is he? I don't know. And that's the difference between George Kittle and a lot of tight ends. If he could block, great, because I love a well-rounded tight end. But if he can line up in the slot, if he can line up outside to beat one-on-one coverage, I want to see that as well. But I don't know how he's going to do against press man yet, because you don't see a lot of teams press Georgia like that because they have the best athletes on the field. And teams are scared of getting burnt deep. But Brock Bowers made a lot of plays, man. It's a tough son of a gun. I take him in a heartbeat.
If you hit on a tight end, it's some of the best value in football.
Yep.
LaPorta hit, you know, and it's a monster acquisition for them. Even if they have to pay him 3 years down the line, it's like $15, $16, $17 million a year at most, okay? At most. That's half of what one receiver costs now at the top of the charts. So tight end is tremendous value in today's league. But when you look at the hit rates on these first-round tight ends, it's not great. But I like Brock Bowers a lot. Here's the problem. Is that you got George Kittle, and how many two tight end sets are you actually going to run? You just brought back, you know, Kyle Juszczyk on a restructured deal. How many of those formations are you actually doing? And now, if you're moving off of George Kittle, absolutely. But I don't think they have the luxury, if you want to be a Super Bowl win now team, to invest that high of a selection in a guy who's only going to be on the field 20% of the time this year.
What if you're trading Brandon Ayuk and you shift your philosophy slightly, where you're running multiple double tight end sets and you have Deebo and another wide receiver? Yeah, no doubt you still need an X. And maybe you get that X later in the draft, but you start with Brock and you start with Kittle and you said, hey, come guard these guys. Now, I don't think Shanahan's going to do that. I don't see Brock Bowers or the Niners being interested in him because of George Kittle.
I feel like
you said,
he's not going to get past the Jets at 10.
Yeah. Oh, boy. If he goes to the Jets with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they want to get him a weapon.
I've seen Roman Dunze rumored to go to the Jets as well.
The Jets will screw it up, like, right?
But what if Rome goes to Chicago again? What if Caleb walks into Chicago? He's got Rome, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore.
I think they're a candidate to trade down again.
You think they'll trade down after 9?
I do.
Ryan Poles?
You're looking at Minnesota. You're looking at teams like that that have multiple first rounders or another first rounder Minnesota! And a high second rounder. Yeah, I do. I think there's going to be a lot of moves today. I think today is going to be wild NFL trade stuff.
How many trades in the first round do you think?
Raiders and the Bears making a trade where the Raiders move up to 9 to get the guy they want, the quarterback they want.
What if they just stay at 13? Could they get Penix Jr. at 13?
I don't know. I got Penix on my board.
The only team in front of them that might take him would be the Broncos, which is the pick right before them. But I don't know if Sean Payton likes Penix. So he's been linked to Bo Nix
a lot. Yeah, Bo Nix. I don't know why.
I keep seeing Bo Nix.
It's the Taysom Hill. Fidoni,
pull up a website, whether it's Prize Picks, DraftKings, or Bovada. What are the over-unders on trades in the first round?
I'll let you know after trades. You do that legal.
Because you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ.
Thanks, Wilmo, Mike.
In AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget that you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from the QR code on our Twitch and YouTube channels. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. Draft day. Who is your draft crush, Niner fans? Mike Florio, 8 o'clock. Mike Florio, 8 o'clock, Pro Football Talk.
Today is Christmas.
Trade? It might be. Would they trade Brandon Ayuk? Will they trade him? Tim Kawakami. He said this. I want to get your thoughts on this. Kawakami from The Athletic, Troy Willard and Dan's yesterday.
Oh. A
couple years ago, the Niners were close to doing the unthinkable.
They came pretty close to trading Deebo 2 years ago, and they didn't. In fact, I would say they probably were more willing to trade Deebo Samuel 2 years ago after a monster season, you know, one of Kyle Shanahan's favorite players, than they are now with Ayuk. Although, the more you listen, the more you, okay, maybe they are pretty close, or at least willing to talk on Ayuk.
So, TK, are they positioning themselves to trade Brandon Ayuk tonight?
The 49ers are positioning themselves around the league that they could trade Ayuk. Maybe that's the way to get the best trade offer. Maybe you put a scare in Ayuk. I don't know. That's how they're positioning it, in the way I've heard. And I think Ayuk's camp is positioning it. Yeah, fine, trade us. We're going to go somewhere that will pay us. We just want to get what's right. Both sides, maybe it's a stare down. Maybe it's a game of chicken. But you know what? Games of chicken sometimes end up in crashes. So I'm going to wait. It's going to be very dramatic. I guess there's a potential they could even do it the next day for a second-round pick. I think that would be silly. I think Brandon Ayuk, if you're going to trade him, you got to get a really good first-round pick and get a receiver that you know can plug right in there, because if they trade him for a second-round pick, boy, I think they really take a step backwards in this quest to win a Super Bowl.
You know, Bonte, I did a draft selection. The Jacksonville radio station was doing like their own mock draft.
O'Brien. Yeah.
And I was on the clock and I'm driving around and I had my little board here and I swear to God, there were like 17 receivers taken in the first round. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just taking a step back and I'm saying to myself, if I'm one of these other teams, heck, if I'm the Niners, right? I'm thinking about it this way, like everybody's coveting wide receivers that much and there's a guy that you can have for a first-round pick. Now, you have to pay him, so that is a big part of it. That you're praying to God one of those first-round picks looks as good as Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I sent you the video yesterday. Sent the thread of video. I was watching LSU's Pro Day. They had all the Pro Days on yesterday. Yeah. So I'm geeking out with the NFL Network, and I'm watching the Pro Days. Jane Daniels is throwing in Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. And Cameron Wolf, who is the reporter for NFL Network, he asked, or he said, he goes, I was just talking to some GMs before he asked Brian Thomas Jr. a question. And there's a GM that said, I know you, hopefully you guys clicked on the video and listened to it.
I watched it.
He goes, they're saying that you remind them of Brandon Ayuk.
Well, he was being comped. The exact phrasing was, not on that video, but before, and I saw this on various sites, a supercharged Brandon Ayuk.
Wow.
That's what his whole thing is. And that's what multiple scouts were calling him.
And I was thinking, boy, the Niners, are they thinking that he could be the Ayuk? Now, how would people feel after, and this is where the trust factor comes in with Shanahan and Lynch. They did make the draft make a trade for DeForest Buckner, or traded DeForest Buckner to Indianapolis for their number one overall pick. Or was it the number one overall? Their first round pick,
13th
I should say.
13th overall.
And they drafted Buckner's replacement with that pick. and gave him Buckner's number and Javon Kinlaw. Kinlaw's now in New York City playing for the Jets. People are getting a lot of vibes about that. Like, do not trade IU. You can draft another receiver because they're getting flashbacks with that, which would kind of, you know, put a damper on your trust factor when it comes to Shanahan and Lynch. But I've kind of come around to trade IU in this sense. What does the compensation look like? Can you hit on the compensation if you do it? How many
years ago was that? Was that Kinlaw trade? Four.
That was after the 2020.
Something like that. Four full years. They've made a great CMC trade. They made a great Trent Williams trade. They've made some really good trades since that time. I think they've earned the benefit of the doubt.
I think I'm with you. 888-957-9570. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Faithful Service Banking. No compromises. More draft talk. What are the Niners going to do here, number 31, when they get on the clock? Will they trade Brandon Ayuk? That is the big story of the day here on 95.7 The Game.
With the second pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Nick Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
2019 NFL Draft, Nick Bosa out of Ohio State. As Kyler Murray decides to enter the NFL Draft, he went number one to Arizona. Nick Bosa goes number two to the 49ers. Quinnen Williams, three to the Jets. You know what? Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa having a better career right now than Kyler Murray. You could make that argument. Quinnen Williams had a big-time extension. Nick Bosa got his money. Let's see what happens with Kyler. He did get his money, $50-plus million. He played better. Cardinals intrigue me. I think nobody's talking about them as it is draft day, and we have you covered. Tune into draft night on the game with Mark Grandy, the Grandy Man, Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett. I'm locked in at 6 p.m. with my guys. I got my guys on the app, Odyssey app. I'll have the draft on the TV. I got to hear Grandy. I got to hear Giddings. I got to hear Bennett. They better bring it. I know they will because this is a huge night for the 49ers. The guys will take you right up to the Niners pick and react right after it. Draft night tonight at 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
You mentioned a guy with Kyler Murray right there. Let's say he's on the trade block tonight. Do you think you're taking maybe Caleb and Jaden over him? Like, those are the only two? Or are you taking Kyler over any of those guys?
Wow. The way I'm thinking about it, I'm not...
Because I would trade a first-round pick for Kyler Murray.
Well, of course, I think a lot of teams would. Kyler, like Caleb right now, there are questions about the person and the leadership and all that. Now, I don't know if this is just what people do right leading up to the draft.
Do you feel like he diffused some of that last season under Gannon, a new coach? It felt like he played a lot better within that system.
Oh, I thought you meant Caleb. No, Caleb, there's all this... I'm talking about Caleb.
Caleb.
There's all this smoke coming out right now about his... about who he is as a person, and people are saying he's weird, like Russell Wilson, and, you know, there's just a lot there. Now, again, I don't know if this is just...
I hate that stuff.
I do, too.
Why do we do that?
Because he wears pink nail polish. He's thus weird now.
Well,
and because he cried after a game that he lost with his parents, he's weird now.
They're like, oh, video games are bad. I'd rather you be playing video games than going out clubbing.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I don't like this when we do this with quarterbacks.
But this is what happens...
They do it with Baker Mayfield.
But Ponte, this is what happens when you have old scouts who aren't from this generation, or even the last generation. They're from multi generations ago, and they find out stuff about young kids. Like, I'm sorry, young kids are going to do things differently than what's going on right now. So, I don't like it either. Now, you know, Kyler Murray, I'm saying, like, there were a lot of questions about his leadership leading up to it. I'm taking Kyler Murray over Jaden Daniels all day.
Yeah, me too.
It's not even a question. Now, that might not age properly, but I believe in Kyler's talent. Now, can he stay healthy?
Right.
You know, those are different questions, but I think the guy is a stud.
You know, Caleb, I watched some of his podcasts with The Pivot. It hit my timeline. I said, you know what, I want to hear
Caleb. Came off very mature.
I liked him even more after that, and I've always liked him. I liked him for the first day he stepped on the field in the Red River Shootout. When he started throwing dives, it took Spencer Rattler's job from Oklahoma. And then, like, the whole big deal, and this is what made me love Caleb even more, is I didn't like the Patrick Mahomes comparisons. I just let Caleb be Caleb.
It's the arm angles and the throws. I know.
But I was just like, let's not put that pressure on the kid. But the way he cried after that loss, who was it against? Washington? Uh-huh. Utah? Washington against Penix and them. They lost the shootout. And he sobbed right there in front of everybody with his family. I'm cool with that. The guy's crying tears. All those tears from losing games, I'm cool with that. To me, It matters. Now, he'll mature and he won't cry, but he doesn't take losses well. I'm okay with that. I don't want my franchise quarterback taking losses well. Cam Newton got a bad knock for that, a bad rap, because, you know, oh, man, he didn't talk after the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Some people handle losing differently. But the guy cares enough to where losing hurts. That, to me, is a plus. When you don't want to lose and you take losing hard, I'm okay with that.
So when you're watching the Caleb stuff, because I watched a lot of USC, there's a guy on USC who's coming out, and everyone, Braden Rice and all these. No. Taj Washington is the guy that I like for the Niners late in the draft. He's a smaller receiver. I don't think they run a lot of quick hitter stuff at USC. Caleb likes to hold the ball, you know, and Lincoln Riley likes to attack downfield. And they were chasing lots of points all year.
I mean, they had no defense.
But I'm telling you, this he's a smaller guy.
Now, I know Taj Washington.
I like him a lot in like the 5th, 6th, 7th round. He, to me, is a guy that screams Shanahan late in this draft.
We'll see about Taj Washington.
He's a sleeper.
No legacy. Brendan Rice.
Brendan Rice, legacy pick. Brendan was nice. I don't know where he's
projected to be a 3rd, 4th rounder.
I'll take a flyer on him. He's got good size. Really good size. Let's go to Mason and Sarah Ramon. Mason, what's happening? You're on the roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, yesterday I called, but you guys called me Nathan.
No, we called you Nicholas. Oh, you're Mason. It was Nicholas on the board. It was Nicholas. But it's Mason. All right, Mason.
Okay. I don't think they should trade Ayuk for a pick, because I'm going to refer to the Warriors here, Wiseman. They tried to get a really good pick with Wiseman. He ended up selling. He wasn't very good. And if the same thing could happen with Ayuk to get a better pick, then I don't think it's worth trading him.
All right, Mason. Crack them books, Mason. Crack them books. He doesn't want to trade Ayuk. Anybody want to trade Ayuk out there? Day later. Anybody cool with trade Ayuk?
Like,
I see Xfinity Mobile Text. Sorry, real quick, should I ask you 408. If you get 7, Niners will trade up to take offensive tackle. No, where's the pick? Oh, 925. Ayuk's going to Buffalo. Will the Buffalo Bills make a move today in this draft? Will they make a move?
I don't know what they're going to do.
They need a weapon, right?
You know how we talk about money. They gave Von Miller way too much guaranteed money.
No doubt.
I mean, they just did. He's an older player, and they gave him way too much guaranteed money. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I have no idea. I feel like they're drafting wide receivers because they have the maximum quarterback contract.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah has taken an edge rusher, Marshawn Nealand, out of Western Michigan, who's getting a lot of buzz here.
Oh, that's
here.
In the first round. Yeah, I'm talking about round, just in general with their philosophy.
Overall. Well, they go heavy on the pick. Got to get Josh Allen some weapons, right?
I mean, they lost 2 wide receivers this year.
Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. Yeah, they do have James Cook in the backfield. Would they be interested in Brandon Ayuk? Would Brandon Ayuk be interested in going to Buffalo? He'd be the man up there.
I don't know. But I will say that, like, the more and more that I think about this is he brings up the number 2 overall pick, and we came back with the sound. Is Nick Bosa the greatest draft pick during the Shanahan era?
I'm not going to say greatest, because it was a no-brainer. Well, some people want to quit in Williams, like yours truly, but I'm not mad at Nick Bosa.
So wait, I'm trying to keep up here. Is it the greatest?
No, pick? It's not.
Okay, what is?
It's not, because it was kind of like Quinton Williams, Nick Bosa. You could go.
It did
wrong.
Change their team.
It changed their defense a little bit. It did. Could make the argument that Debo is a better pick than Nick Bosa. 2nd round pick. You didn't know if he was going to pop. DK Metcalf was on the board.
Yeah, I didn't have Debo.
And you make Debo Samuel, you turn him into an all pro and the player that he is today. Drake Greenlaw.
Yeah.
Fred Warner.
I was going to go Kittle before all those guys.
Kittle. You could say Kittle, but what about Fred Warner?
Fred Warner's been amazing.
He became the best linebacker of football.
Been amazing.
I mean, best linebacker of football.
But they had Fred Warner before Nick Bosa, and their defense wasn't anywhere close.
Well, they didn't have any defensive ends. I know. You got to have some pass rushers, but Fred Warner from day one started.
Okay.
Warner green dot helmet, and he's become the best linebacker in football. Hands down.
I think he's on the short list.
I
don't think I would put Debo over Warner, and I don't think I would put Debo over Kittle. If we're going to go value like the way you were describing, I'd probably put Kittle just above him ever so slightly.
What if it's Brock Purdy?
Well, that was where I was going. Like, I think eventually, if he ends up being that guy, like if they had won the Super Bowl, it would have been Brock Purdy.
Hands down, greatest draft picked ever. I mean, greatest draft picked ever for Shanahan Lynch, for sure.
I mean, it saved their jobs. I mean, I as I think about draft day, like Bosa and Debo and Warner and Kittle, I also think about what they did with Trey Lance. How many organizations can survive that trade?
Yeah.
And that guy playing three games, and it just, I mean, it, whoop. I mean, they just pivoted right to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is one of the greatest draft picks of all time for this organization.
Yeah, I'm kind of
already.
With you there. I'm
in like a year and a half. There.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I mean, think of how many seventh rounders in the you know the Niners. Dwight Clark was a 10th round pick, yep. Right? It's that they don't even have 10 rounds anymore. So that's one of those ones that I'll always hold in high regard. Name another seventh round pick for the Niners that stuck around.
Nobody even knows. I don't remember one seventh round pick. Not one.
Adrian Colbert.
Not one. Yeah, Colbert. Yeah, but I don't remember those guys. Yeah, I don't. I don't even think of those guys.
Nate Davis.
I don't even think of those guys. I think of the players, but I don't think about where they're picked. You know, they're late round picks. They weren't memorable enough to be memorized like that. You know what I'm saying? Brock Purdy just threw for the most yards in franchise history. There's no doubt he may become one of the greatest picks all time in NFL history. Like, if he wins that Super Bowl, I truly believe he's one of the five greatest stories in North American sport history. Brock Purdy. That's how big this story. Like, the last pick of the NFL draft. He's like the first Mr. Irrelevant to ever take a snap in a regular season game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Not only did he take snaps, he took jobs, and he became a captain. And now we got the owner talking about he's going to reset the quarterback market. You can't script this. You just can't. When we wrap our heads around what Brock Purdy has done and what he may become, he was the last pick in the draft, so there's no doubt. The no-brainer in Nick Bosa, the Fred Warner picks, the George Kittle picks, they're all great, but they're not greater than Brock Purdy.
Well, so
not even close.
Now that you've said all of that, don't you trust Brock, Kyle Shanahan, Lynch, the offense, that if they do move off of Brandon Ayuk, they'll figure it out?
Yeah, but they may not figure it out this year.
That's an interesting point.
And aren't we in win now mode?
Yeah.
Aren't we in a situation where you got to maximize this Super Bowl window?
No doubt. But that's also like they made financial moves that are going to hurt the team in the interim, but it's about, you know, reorganizing money. Like, for example, Eric Armstead. They're in win now mode and they want to win. And Eric Armstead is a better player than whatever they have on the roster right now, right? To fill him up.
Well, it depends on who you ask, right? There's not a lot of Eric Armstead fans here. A lot of people, when he got cut, people say he's not worth it.
No, they say worth it is a different conversation. If he's is he better, just an outright better player than the D-tackle?
We don't know. Malik Collins may be good. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, come on. He was a really good player for the Niners. He wasn't healthy enough. That he was getting paid a lot of money. Like,
he was solid.
But in a vacuum, like, they're a better player with him. Right? And you're in win now mode anyway. So you make lots of moves on the roster left and right that maybe don't necessarily help you today, but it's about adding something else over there or about being better down the line over here.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust them next season. I trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right decision, but if you're taking away his number one weapon is, but like I'm seeing Chicago, Jason, he's saying Brandon Ayuk is an easy replacement. Plenty of receivers in his draft. Okay. What's the hit rate on these wide receivers? How many wide receivers make it to their second contract with the team that drafted them? How many wide receivers just pop off the screen? Think about where you drafted Brandon Ayuk. Think about the value you got him at. And think about what he's done. Because it ain't just, I know people say, well, I don't pay him to run block. Well, run blocking as a wide receiver is essential in this offense. For Shanahan, you better get physical at the wide receiver position. Ayuk has done that. He's done that. Not to the level of Juwan Jennings, but he's done that. Okay, but Dwight Clark was a 10th round pick. How many times is that? There's going to be exceptions to the rule every single year. But it doesn't mean you're going to make the right pick. How many misses have the Niners had at the wide receiver position?
They've had misses at every position.
They've misses at every position. You know, so
Reggie McGrew.
So I want to see what it looks like with Brock Purdy. Like, I trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right move. Do I trust Purdy to thrive without a top-flight wide receiver if they don't replace Brandon Ayuk? Hell, I don't know who they're going to replace him with. I don't know if these guys could translate to the league.
I mean, look,
it sounds good.
There were times during the Super Bowl and in the playoffs when Deebo Samuel was on the sidelines and he was throwing at Chris Conley. Now that he wasn't the primary guy, you still had Ayuk out there, but like they connected on some big plays in the playoffs to a guy that most people didn't even know one had in fantasy, let alone being one of the top three wide receivers.
But it wasn't like they were giving him high volume. Would he catch two passes in the postseason?
No, but I'm just saying, like you got to be deeper at that position.
You do have to be deep.
And I think that they need to draft multiple guys.
Yeah, which is why, though, I would rather keep Ayuk at the end of the day and draft another. I would draft a receiver anyway to add to Ayuk and Deebo. Because what was a big conversation we had at the Super Bowl when they lost to Kansas City? It's like, damn, they just had one more weapon. Because well, when Deebo went down, that offense looked very, very
no
stout.
No doubt. But and if, you know, the running back who's an all-world player held onto the ball, if the offensive line gave Purdy more time. Like, there's a lot of ifs.
Purdy's got to make throws, too. He missed some throws.
Yeah, he did in that
He's
game.
He's not exonerated.
He did.
You know, Shanahan's yelling, hey, look at McCaffrey. But Purdy's looking the other way on third and five, and he gets the ball batted at the line of scrimmage. How many balls got batted at the line of scrimmage in that Super Bowl by the Kansas City Chiefs? Two or three?
At least
Chris Jones had to go. He felt like he had
more. The linebacker, 51.
They're making plays all over the place. So I would add to the wide receiver room. Even if I kept Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I would too, but here's the thing. If you keep Brandon Ayuk, you have to sign him long-term because that wide receiver that you draft, I want him to be either a complimentary player to Ayuk or he can be a slot player. If you get rid of Ayuk, I have to get someone who can line up on the outside on that line of scrimmage. And that's not easy. Just a different receiver.
And you know what?
Not all receivers can do that.
And what's not easy for college wide receivers? How many college wide receivers get jammed at the line of scrimmage?
Not many.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There's such a wide formation, and they're running so many smoke screens. And
so there's going to be an adjustment for a wide receiver coming from the college ranks. How do you beat press man?
Brian Thomas is a great example of like a guy that he didn't do a lot of work in the middle of the field. A Shanahan offense, you're going to do a lot of work in the middle of the field.
A lot of drags and crossing routes.
Yeah.
So
does he have that in the bag and he just didn't show it, or does he have to learn it?
How do you beat press man? How do you run drag routes? How can you read coverages? How many different coverages, sophisticated coverages, are they running in college? There's a few teams like Michigan, Alabama, they're running NFL schemes. You got Saban, you got Harbaugh and his crew, they're running NFL schemes. But how many teams are running NFL schemes defensively? So how do you read cover threes, cover twos, all this stuff, nickels, dimes? There's an adjustment period for a wide receiver coming into the NFL. Now, some guys could just pop right away. Justin Jefferson popped right away. But I felt like Joe Brady had an NFL-type style offense at LSU with Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and who's by the other guy on the other side, Jamar Chase. But it's an adjustment period. So you got to think about all that, plus the complexity of Shanahan's offense, especially from the wide receiver spot and the timing routes that they run. So I would rather add and keep Ayuk as opposed to moving off of Ayuk and drafting a wide receiver, basically saying, hey, I need you to replace Ayuk. You're going to light up here. You're going to be opposite of Deebo Samuel. Especially if I'm going to be considering moving on to Deebo next year.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Debo. I really don't. I mean, would they ever do the unthinkable and move both guys today?
I would hope not.
I mean, it feels unthinkable. I'm just asking. Wait,
I mean, you got dead cap hit. You got a $42 million dead cap hit. We've been talking about it all week.
We went to a Super Bowl, and Kendrick Bourne was one of your leading postseason wide receivers. Like, I know.
Well, then we think Shanahan can do it then.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know wide receivers are important, and I'm not devaluing how great these guys are individually. But also, like, we act like this is the Tom Sula offense. Kendrick Bourne was one of your leading receivers en route to a Super Bowl.
Well, Kendrick Bourne was so good they had to trade for Emmanuel Sanders at the deadline.
No doubt.
They had a wide receiver.
No doubt. He also had a rib injury.
That's how confident they felt about Kendrick Bourne being their leading wide receiver. They went out and traded for Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying that I just don't think this offense, the way that they want to run things, I don't think that wide receiver spending $60 million on wide receivers is the greatest way to put your team together.
It's only for one season. It would only be for one season. Spend a $60 million, and that's $75 million with adding Kittle. That's for 1 year. And then you move off Debo next year because it sounds like it's – let's listen to TK. TK on the Debo situation.
I think it's set up for Debo Samuel's contract to be moved off after this season. I just think that's the way the contract was played out. It's like that's where they have this out. It's not this year. It's next year. Ayuk would not be getting a new contract starting till next season anyway, very likely. You don't really tear up that last season if you do the extension. They haven't with other players, so his number is not going up huge. In fact, it'll go down because it's $14 million this season. A number probably going to have to start the cap hits and then expand, by a lot in later years.
And then TK later added about Debo Samuel. Is he a declining player or is he ascending?
It's a potential declining player. This is kind of what the issue that they had with him 2 years ago. It was like they just didn't see how he was going to be a $27 million player in 3 years. Well, he's probably not going to be. And they have their way out of it. So for pure math, you could say if they give the money to Ayuk, it's probably not going to go to Debo. But that's not limited to just the one player. And we saw it with Armstead. We might see it with several other players. They have outs for these long-term deals. That's why players fight for the guaranteed money. And when the time comes, when the guaranteed money doesn't hit the 49ers as hard, you start seeing some players going.
What do you think about that? Debo declining. Ayuk not. So maybe adding a wide receiver, moving off of Debo next year, and then at least in the future, you have your Brock Purdy getting his deal, you have Ayuk who has his deal, and you have that rookie wide receiver on that rookie deal who's in his second year learning from Debo Samuel, and he's ready to roll by year two.
Well, I mean, that's the ideal situation. Yeah, we would prefer that, but like, I don't know. I don't know if they can afford that or if they want to do that, and then like, what are you going to get for Debo? The Debo thing is interesting. Like, I don't know if he's a declining player. I just think he kind of is what he is. He had a monster 2021 season. Just absolute all outlier monster year. And I don't think they're going to use him that way anymore. They're just not. Like, when you got CMC, it kind of, not that it devalued Debo, it just changed Debo's particular role, and it wasn't a necessity to hand him the ball off the way that they did. Is he still a gladiator? Absolutely. Is he still a tone setter and a stud who can pop in any game? Oh, absolutely. Is he the greatest wide receiver in terms of like, hey, this guy's going to press you. You need to get open in a short area and make yourself get separation so we can hit you on a quick hitter. That's not necessarily what his bread and butter is.
You know, he got shut down in the Super Bowl. And Debo was good last season. I thought he had a good season. I did. Was it great? No.
He had a good season. I agree with that.
But he got shut the hell down by McDuffie and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there was just no separation. No separation at the line of scrimmage. He didn't fool anybody with his route running whatsoever.
But if you go to practice,
I love Debo, and I love Debo Samuel as much as anybody. I wanted him drafted here.
That's not his game.
And I need guys with that type of game because we can't talk about the vertical passing game. How the vertical passing game for the 49ers is a bit outdated at times. It looks a bit outdated when you could just drop back. Hey, 3rd and 8, I got to make a throw. I got to get a first down. I know I could do that with Ayuk. I don't think I could do that with Debo moving forward.
But everyone couldn't have it both ways, right? Like, so you pay him wide receiver money, and now you're paying him, top dollar.
I had no problem paying Debo. I had no problem paying Debo for what he did. But I can still keep Debo, and he can do what he does, And I don't have to count on him to be that X receiver or that guy on third date to put his foot in the dirt, run a great route, and catch a pass and high point the football or whatnot. Now, I do think his hands are a little underrated. This fade route against the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football was beautiful. I think we all forget that. The back shoulder throw by Brock Purdy was beautiful to the corner or the pylon of the end zone. That was awesome. But at the same time, walking out of the Super Bowl, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I need more weapons. Now, I know everybody's talking about Chris Conley, right? Did you know Chris Conley is 31 years old? I had no idea he was 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in October. He's an older player. The guy had two catches for 35 yards in the postseason. He had some big catches, but think about it. He's
your fourth or fifth wide receiver.
But I keep hearing Chris Conley could maybe make some plays for you. Chris Conley seven targets a game and be effective?
No, that's what I'm saying. You're going to draft that guy. But I think it's more indicative of the offensive philosophy where a random guy like a Chris Conley can get a target. I mean, the year before, what was it? Travis Benjamin's out there running routes and we're all losing our minds. They were playing Mohamed Sanu a couple years ago.
So let me ask you
he was done.
As a makeshift GM, when you draft a player, we could use Matt for this exercise. I don't care. It's all fun and games. Running Matt and a player pops for you in the draft. You're more inclined to get that player a contract, or are you going to flip that player for more picks in the future? Because like when you develop a player and he pops after drafting him, don't you want to just keep your homegrown talent knowing that, hey, I groom these guys to play in my system, and they have exceeded in my system, and they've become all pro. Like, Brandon Ayuk was the second team all pro last year. And we're just talking about flipping him for prospects.
Yeah, but if he was second team all pro 3 years in a row like Nick Bosa, then I would keep him. But he's not. And then I'm projecting moving forward. Like, is he the money that he's commanding? Am I going to be throwing him the ball 15 times a game? Like, this is not what they do. Yeah. And I love him. I love him as a player.
Think about what they didn't do, what they don't do offensively, and what he's done to maximize his opportunities.
Yeah, but you can't keep every. Like, I keep coming back to the same thing. You can't keep everyone.
For this season, you can.
Okay.
For this season. You can run back
out. You have to look beyond this year.
Yeah, no doubt you have to. That's why next year is next year. You got the out clauses with all these guys, whether it's Kittle, whether it's Debo. You may make a decision on Javon Hargrave. I don't know if Joey Greenlaw is going to be here long term coming off his injury. I don't know what the hell Juszczyk is going to be probably coming off the books. There's a lot. Trent Williams, how long is he going to be playing? How long is he playing? Does he have another year left? Does he have 2 years left? I have no idea. So for this year, I can maybe add and just have as many weapons as possible because it's about the quarterback. How do I surround my quarterback and put him in the best position to succeed? I think the one thing about Jimmy, and I don't think Jimmy was a perfect quarterback whatsoever, but the one thing with Jimmy that I wish the Niners did was build a little more around him. Give him multiple weapons. He walked on the field after that Super Bowl season, and once they lost to Super Bowl 54, he walked on the field in week number one with Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, and Trent Taylor. And it was like, come on, dog. You can't be successful. Who the hell is going to be successful with that weaponry on the outside? Ask Mac Jones about that.
You have CMC still. Like that's
you didn't have CMC in 2021.
No, I know, but that's what I would say to you. Is like you have CMC still.
Well, right? CMC is going to see a lot more.
And you have Debo.
Like, you don't think CMC, like,
of course it's going to be more difficult.
One less weapon?
Bonte, of course it's going to be more difficult. And the team's going to have to evolve. Like, there's no doubt. See, like you're frustrated that the money is coming into play, but like,
no, I kind of
saw this
that.
Coming. And
no,
like,
no.
I think a lot of Niner fans need to just kind of get their heads around. I don't love it, but because you paid Debo, this is one of the few guys that you can move to get something back and spread those picks around.
He's one of your best players on the team.
So rank him.
He's a top 10 player on this football team.
I'm
not going to rank him, say who's the top player. 22 stars. He's in that top 10. He's in that top 10 on this team. Pal for pal, talent-wise.
Yeah.
You got your Chris McCaffrey,
Fred
Warner.
I'm not taking Colt McKivitz over Brandon Ayuk. Like, yeah, I get that. But like, is he a top 5 player on this team?
You can make the argument that he was last year.
Yeah, I would. Throughout his tenure as a Niner.
Well, he's had back-to-back 1,000-yard receivers. He's ascended.
Yeah.
Despite he riding a quarter, he had 1,000 yards despite having – this is something we also forget. We also forget this. When Brock Purdy came into the – Debo got hurt against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And Debo missed a few games.
Mm-hmm.
What did that offense do?
It didn't look as good.
But Brandon Ayuk started balling. He balled out, though.
Yeah, okay, but Bonte, I'm looking at it from the GM's perspective. It's like Trent and Bosa, those are two, all right? Purdy is three, CMC is four, and then your fifth is Fred Warner. Like, those are your top five guys. You can't keep all the great players sometimes.
So you're cool with just trading off a player?
I'm not cool. I get it. I understand that there's a business aspect.
But you can keep them for this year together. And move off of Debo and make those decisions. You can hold off on these tough decisions by re-signing now. You could theoretically move off these guys next season.
But then
Why would you try to run back an offense that averaged damn near 30 points a game? It broke all types of records.
Bonte, then I don't know why. I've come to the conclusion that they cannot afford all these guys. Like, I know everyone else is saying that this is what they can do. I think they're going to give CMC money that no one knows about, that they're going to pay him some money. Because if I'm CMC, there's no way I want to see both Debo and Ayuk making twice as much as me when I'm way more important than them. Trent Williams is going to make twice as much as me if I'm CMC?
Well, you take Trent Williams away from CMC.
No, I know, but I'm just saying CMC twice as much.
Well, you take Trent Williams off this offense and we see how many yards
I'm going locker room dynamics here. You know, I'm going locker room dynamics. And then you're going to give Brock Purdy, you know, $40 or $50 million next year. I think they're going to do right by CMC. And I think that there's other moves they have in their head. Like, everyone's like, well, you got to extend Ayuk. Well, what about extending Domino Lenore? Maybe that's something that they have in the works. Maybe it's
Lenore more important than Ayuk?
He could be cheaper. He could be had cheaper. And if it's one Ayuk or a Diamond or Lenore and giving CMC some money and then also getting a wide receiver for $5 million and getting myself an offensive lineman. And
it all sounds good. That all has to pop. I hear you on that one. But I have a player who's popped. I have a player who's ascended and became an all-pro in this offense, despite being in the doghouse, despite having three different quarterbacks one season, despite last year playing with Brock Purdy and not being able to catch passes for Brock Purdy in the offseason because he was rehabbing from elbow surgery, and I still thrived. I don't know. I just, like, the NFL. So, this is great. I was talking to somebody. This is great. I forgot to mention this to you. True story. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to somebody I trust very, very well. I do. No, seriously. I'm not even trying to.
I'm just like, where is this going? Okay.
So we were talking about basketball, right? Uh-huh. We're talking about basketball.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, Bonte, I really believe buckets get you wins.
Uh-huh.
I think in basketball, it's more about the offense and getting buckets. And I said, huh, that's interesting because football is a complete opposite. And that person told me, he's like, actually, that person talked to a 49er scout.
Okay.
True story. Okay. Swear to God. True story. That 49er scout said, you know, I used to believe that defense wins championships, but in today's game, this scout truly believed that you need offense. That offense is actually the great indicator. That, yeah, defense will keep you in the football game, but you need playmakers in today's day and age in the NFL to really win.
Who had better playmakers in the Kansas City Niner game? The Niners did, and they got stuffed out by a better defense.
I think the offense shot themselves in the foot. How many holding calls did they get called for? How many illegal procedures? How many errant throws? How many bad routes?
Right.
Plays were there to be made.
You're making my point. Kansas City defense locked up. I thought they were awesome.
Plays were there to be made.
I mean, their wide receiver personnel is 20th in the league?
Well, they made plays in the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm looking around the league and everyone is offloaded. Like right now, T. Higgins is probably going to get offloaded, right? Like, teams are getting rid of offensive players. You do have to have some balance. No one is saying it has to be one or the other. Like, but you have to balance things out. You're going to have flaws. You're going to have flaws when you build an NFL team.
The Niners average 30 points a game. Offense won a Detroit game coming back. Offense needed to wake up against Green Bay. Offense is the reason why they lost that Super Bowl. Because they didn't have enough productive offense.
I mean, defense stopped the drive against Green Bay at the end of the game and got that interception on
the offense.
Love.
Also woke up and made multiple plays in the fourth without the offense making plays, right? It's all connected, but you could make the argument that offense is a little more important in today's game.
Well, but I find that ironic than the Niners gave these Niners scouts that you're talking to. Why give Bosa $120 million? Why not trade Bosa
You need a pass rusher, at least, right? You can't rush the quarterback.
But you're investing that much. Like, that's historic money.
Yes, exactly. But what are you going to do, let Bosa walk? You're not going to pay Bosa? It's your only pass rusher. It's the only guy.
Well, I guess then that's the same argument over here. You can't pay all your offensive players. Well, like, you know, one of them's going to have to go.
You can say defense wins championships, but Kansas City, when they need to make plays in the fourth quarter and overtime, they all made them. Those no-name wide receivers made plays.
Well, so did Chris Jones blowing up a play at the end when it was third and four for the 49ers and offense. They had opportunity to, what?
And that playmaker, Brandon Ayuk, was wide open on that play, right? I don't know. I'm just not moving off. We're talking about a second-team All-Pro in the NFL.
He's a great player.
Think about this. All these wide receivers in the league. All these wide receivers in the league. And Brandon Ayuk makes second-team All-Pro on a run-first offense? I guess he's easily replaceable, according to some people. Gene in Oakland, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Morning, fellas. So I'm having one of those "what am I missing" moments over this whole Ayuk thing. I mean, look, if Ayuk moves on, I think we can all agree that both the Niners and Ayuk move further away from a Super Bowl win, right? This coming year, I mean, if you believe we're the number two team and Kansas City's number one, and we're just, I think, a Super Bowl experience like last year away from winning, you don't move off this guy. This could be our best chance this year since we won the Super Bowl in 95 to win a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, next year, we could be losing Kittle, we could be losing Williams, and we could be losing Debo. I think it gets a lot harder, potentially. So, no, yeah. I mean, I'm not a betting guy, but I would bet just about anything they'll sign Ayuk. That's going
to
happen.
Well, Gene, I was thinking last year was their best year to win a Super Bowl, and I think now they're looking at it. Not that they're actively trying to tank or not be as good. It's just like you might have to take a little tiny step back this year to set yourself up 2 years from now.
Nothing's guaranteed in this league.
Well, that's for sure.
We watched Drake Greenlaw get tears Achilles running off the sideline. Fred Warner has had very good health. Very good health. I hope to God he doesn't get hurt next season. But he's one play away. Bosa's had injuries, right? Hell, Bosa was nicked up last year. Debo Samuel, is he going to play 17 games for this team? 18 games for this team? What is 17 games? Excuse me. Is Kittle going to be healthy the entire season? Like, it all sounds good in the NFL. But I really think today's NFL operates yearly. It's a year-by-year league. To try to build a team and say, you know what? Like in basketball, right? OKC has the patience. They have the wherewithal. Basketball's so much different. But you could project in 3 to 4 years. It's easier to do that sport. Hell, it's easier to do it in baseball. In the NFL, with all the injuries and all the physicality, there's no guarantee your team will be able to run it back the next season. There's no guarantee your team will be healthy. Yeah. For crying out loud, we didn't even know Brock Purdy was going to play in week one this year because of the elbow injury.
Okay, but I just want to stop you. I think this is we're tap dancing around the inevitable. Do you believe in Buffalo today? As a championship contender.
Let's see what they do look like in the draft. I do believe they have a better chance. I didn't believe Buffalo was a championship contender last year, but I do believe they still have enough to be a playoff team because of the quarterback.
Oh, okay. Because of the quarterback is the key phrase. What about Cincinnati, Kansas City? Like, this comes down to if you believe in Brock. I think if you believe in Brock, you're not worried about moving off of a playmaker. You think you can reset or at least, you know, figure something out there. Well, if you have tremendous belief in Brock Purdy, it's not just about any one player on offense or defense. They're thinking about it over the next 4 or 5 years.
I hear that. But my belief in Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes is partly due because I've seen him do it multiple years. Right,
Brock's done it for almost 2 years now.
But he almost done it for 2 years. Almost done it for 2 years. But I haven't seen him do it without playmakers. I've seen those other guys do it without playmakers at times.
Debo didn't play the second half against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, and he won a game in the rain.
They barely won it. Jordan Love threw an inexplicit pick. It was terrible.
And he beat the Dallas Cowboys in the second half at home. He has some pretty big wins on his resume.
He didn't beat the Cowboys. That team beat the Cowboys. But I hear what you said. He made the right plays. He did. But he also made the right play to Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. He had playmakers, right?
I think this is boiling down to the organization believes in Brock Purdy much more than I think the average person does, and they're banking on him, and they're banking on Kyle Shanahan to figure it out.
My thing is, why create a hole when you have other, like, all I heard after the Super Bowl, rebuild the offensive line, fix the offensive line, get another corner. Get a safety. Get another linebacker for Drake Greenlaw. Now we're going to create another hole by trading an all-pro wide receiver.
They just cut a D-tackle who was an all-pro 2 years ago.
All-pro wide receiver. All-pro wide receiver.
They have a hole there, too.
Like, well, he wasn't an all-pro last year.
No, I know, but, like, you're not going to be
And Armstead's been here for a decade. He's Ayuk is barely hitting the prime. We're talking about a prime wide receiver. Purdy's number one target? I don't know, man.
So you don't believe that Brock can find the next Ayuk and Shanahan? Because I do. I actually do.
All right, well, I believe in them, but it's going to be an adjustment. And there's no guarantee you win next year, and there's no guarantee you win the year after. Because now you're going to be moving off of the other playmakers. And at some point, you're going to have to replace Debo and replace Kittle and replace all these guys. There's a guarantee, man. Not with the hit rates they had. Not with the misses they had. All right, get your news report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I feel like we're underrating Brandon Ayuk, man, but that's all good. That's all good. All good. Blake Snell, he's on the injury list. We'll talk to Dave Fleming at 8:30 about it. Felt strained during the bullpen session earlier this week, so he will be out with the left adductor strain. Bob Melvin turned the strain as moderate, and the expectation is that Snell's absence will not be a long one. We'll talk to Dave Fleming about the injury, see how severe it is. That's coming up at 8:30. But next is Mike Florio. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We'll ask him his thoughts on BA and what the Niners should do here. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises. Mike Florio, talking draft here on The Roast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.